Crash Course Live is presented by
Smash It Demolition Derby, who hosts Bash for Cash, Blizzard Bash, and Capital City Carnage. Online at smashitderby.com. And Stirring Dirt Racing, host of May Mania's team show at the Golden Spike Arena in Ogden, Utah, online at stirringdirtracing.com.
Reckless Abandoned Derby Apparel, and Derby Inc. Magazine. This is the Crash Course Demolition Derby Podcast, recorded live at the FingerLakes1.com studios in downtown Seneca Falls, New York. And now your host, Chris Marquardt.
Yes, there's no question I need a hat on. It is bright.
Put your hood up. You look good. You could be Thuganomics.
Let's see. Does this improve things?
You know what you look like? You look like the Emperor.
Ironic, isn't it?
Ironic.
Right there, read it.
Smashed Empire. Wow. Nice.
Yes.
That's a fancy sweatshirt. I wish, maybe I could get one of those someday.
This is only one of two that I have. This is only one of two. This is the one that's got the globe mm-hmm. on the back, and it's got all the call-out boxes where live streams have been seen and where apparel's been sent and stuff like that all over the back, and it says the sun never sets on the Smashed Empire. Kind of cool. Yeah.
You got a good graphics department. They do some nice stuff.
Well, thank you. It was not the shiningest day for us over the weekend, but nonetheless.
I don't know. I heard a lot of positives, man. There's a lot of people happy you were sending heats out and features and the such.
We went out there. We went out there in April. Oh, wait. Good evening and welcome to Crash Course.
They know all that. We're 260 deep. They know how the beginning goes.
Episode number 248, fresh off of Cast in the Valley. We're going to be talking about Cast in the Valley. We're going to be talking with Jeff Fatty Clark about Blizzard Bash coming up. Oh, yeah, and he also got a win at Battle at the Border. We'll get into that with him as well. Cast in the Valley was absolutely outstanding, front to back. I don't even know what the final count was. I've got all the entry sheets. I should have totaled them up. They went from, 24 stock cars last year to over 50.
Nice.
They went from 80 compact cars down to, 65 or 68.
Really?
Because all the compact guys went and drove stock cars. So, you didn't lose anybody.
Cool.
They went from four or five trucks last year. They had, 15 this year, and they had a dozen weld cars. It was awesome. Cool. It was awesome. My dad went to his first out-of-town derby this weekend.
That's
he
awesome.
He traveled down.
Did he take his camera?
Nope. Nope. He just went to... Cool. Well, hang on. He got there and found out that it was run by fire department people.
Oh. He was in his glory.
He had a pretty good time. He met a bunch of people. He was wearing his... I can't remember. I've seen him wear this shirt 1,000 times. It was embroidered. I think it's a IAAF or something, the Firefighter Academy or the Firefighter mm-hmm. Federation, something or other. And he went down to the concession stand to get a cup of coffee whereas most people drink water, he drinks coffee endlessly. And he went down there to get a cup of coffee. And they gave it to him, and he goes, what's my total? And he goes, nope. The guy pointed to his shirt and said, nope, firefighters, we got you covered. All the firefighters, this is what this is for. We got you covered for your drinks and coffee and stuff like that. He goes, yeah, but I'm from New York. He goes, doesn't matter. We're all brothers when it comes to flaming buildings or something. So he thought that was cool, and, awesome. And he was nosing around. One of the fire trucks was there, and if I'm not mistaken, that fire truck that was there on the grounds was one of them that the proceeds from the last 8 Cast in the Valleys helped purchase. Now, they've also bought some. They didn't pay for it off of Cast in the Valley. That did not. That's never going to happen.
That trucks are pretty. Russ told us about those. He builds them.
It's a used fire truck. It's not like it's 2019 or anything like that either. So before anybody starts counting nickels and getting their Facebook posts ready, because social media is a hot thing these days.
Just these days?
Just pump the brakes on it. It's not. They've also been able to, which was cool, they've also been able to buy a bunch of self-contained breathing stuff, upgrade their cool. SCBA units. So, it's been going other places. It's been it met its purpose. The raffle car didn't run again.
Really?
If you can believe this. I felt Josh Wilkins ended up, I think he ended up third in the compact feature.
Mad Dog, too. I think I ran.
Jason Wilkins.
Oh, okay. My bad. Sorry.
Who, turns out, Josh will hate me, drives harder than Josh does.
Wow.
It was awesome to watch that. He was wheeling it. It was cool. they pulled the winning ticket, and the winning ticket has some stipulations on it. You have to be over 16 or have a waiver, and you have the option of taking the $1,000, and if you don't take it, there's not a second ticket pulled. Guy came up, he goes, I want the grand.
Can't argue that.
Because he went to the gas station out back and spent $980 on Powerball tickets.
Really?
I don't know if that's true. I made that part up. Anyway, with the Powerball sitting out there, to take $1,000 and turn it into $1 billion, not a bad shot, right?
Chris Marquardt, if you won that Powerball for $1.6 billion, what would you do?
You'd never know.
Thanks. Feel good inside. Awesome.
No one would ever know. They would make a post on We Crash Presumed Dead, Chris Marquardt.
Oh goodness.
And they would
would you buy the Blackhawks?
No. I would have a seating area named after me at the Blackhawks Arena. that would probably be a fun place to start. I think that I would probably give $1 million out of that to Tim and Russ and say, go have the first $1 million derby. And watch those cars slow to a crawl. Sit back and watch. From my house on the beach. Because I'm not announcing it.
You wouldn't be there live streaming in the rain and mud.
Don't have to worry about that.
Oh, that's awesome.
No. So he took his $1,000. So they're all standing around there. They're scratching their heads. Like, so what do we do? And they opted to... They said the first person with the most amount of cash to come to the fence gets the car. And they had 200, and then they had 225. And then Jeffy from the Fab Farm showed up with 425 on the fence. And I'm like, if he gets this thing, this is going to be crazy. Somebody come out of the woodwork with 450, and they got it.
Cool.
And the feature was pulling out the stage, and the car rolled. It had been driving all day. It had rolled out maybe an extra 15 feet closer to the track and stopped, and it never moved again. So I don't know if the fuel pump went bad. It's something. It seemed like it would have been something simple. You know what I mean? It didn't. There wasn't any big poof. There wasn't any grinding or clunking or anything. And Josh's stuff, the cardiac arrest, their stuff is always bulletproof. You know, they don't have major mechanical problems. So I think it's one of those stupid things like a ground wire had rubbed through and they couldn't. I mean, it was dark out. It was 1 o'clock in the morning when it happened. So I don't know what happened beyond that. Cast in the Valley, we started with the power wheels at 5 o'clock and ended up throwing the checkered flag over Kid Chaos in the four-cylinder feature shortly before 2:30. And there was three different patches of driving rain. There was wind blowing into the booth with the rain. I'm 45 feet above ground, and my stuff still is getting rained on. How? Freaking how? You know, but we pulled the stuff back away from the windows. It was cold, but there were so many fans that stuck it out all the way to the end.
Awesome.
They just stayed right there.
Great.
And it was very, very good. I enjoyed it a lot. We'll get into the winners and stuff in the second half. We got to get with Jeff first.
Fatty.
Yep.
I don't really know who Jeff is, but I know Fatty.
Look him up on Facebook.
You'll
find
him. Saw the picture of Fatty. I think it's a car he ran last year. I think he just put a new clip on the front of it.
Josh Wilkins just said, baloney, in other terms. And he built him the car. Which, that explains it right there. That's why Jason drove the car so hard.
Because he didn't have any time or money invested in it.
He didn't have a thing to do.
Bring your helmet, get in the car. Hey, not to completely change the subject while you're getting ready to make a phone call, but did you see the wreck at Middletown? At the Eastern States, 3 wide going into 1, and a modified got stuffed into that end barrier. Remember the one Danny hit like a month ago? And I'm pretty...
Did Vic Coffey hit that too?
No.
Vic Coffey hit that a couple years ago?
No, Vic flipped going into 3.
Oh, okay.
That was 15 years ago.
I'm talking about...
358.
Because he flipped it, Syracuse, and then he wadded up another car, and then he wadded up a late model.
Oh,
was
I
it a late model? He might have hit the wall there.
It was anyway. It was bad. I mean, he reported injuries. I won't comment because I don't know for sure. But they somebody's going to get killed at that track. It was terrible. It tore the front clip right off the car. I wouldn't be surprised if it broke the block and all. But Chris is now dialing the famous Fatty, from known from Smash It Demolition Derby Productions. Ran this week at Battle of the Border. Won the Weld class. Again, I think it's a car that he took out to Kentucky last year. Freedom Hall, I believe, was where he took it. Looked like they put a fresh clip on it and took it over there. They had a before picture and an after picture, and there's about 3 inches of mud on it, so I'm guessing they had a little bit of rain as well. Him and his dad, and there's another person in the picture. They got a nice picture
taken
afterwards.
Hey, what's
going on? But,
not a lot. Let me put you in, okay?
And now here is the famous Fatty.
What's going on?
Hey, how are you?
What's up, Fatty?
Just derbying.
Now, listen, the most important question of the whole night is, did anybody else show up for the show, or were you the only one there?
No, I heard there was anywhere from 15 to 20 of us, but, you know, I had bash entries, and they had denied on them, and if anybody hit me, I was just going to throw them in the car.
Excellent idea, man. Congratulations on the win. That had to be pretty fun, huh?
Oh, yeah, it was a good time over there, man. Weather was not too great, but everything else worked out. It was a good time over there. I ran with a bunch of good buddies, and it was fun, a lot of fun.
Yeah, I mentioned that there's probably a good inch or inch and a half coating of mud all over the car, so it looked like it was definitely a pretty wet night.
Oh, yeah. Well, when I was pulling on for our heat, it was actually sleeting.
Wow.
We had rain, snow, and sleet all in the same day, but Jeremy and them, they did a good job with the show.
It's one of those awesome derbies where you get to experience multiple seasons in the same night. That's always rewarding.
Oh, yeah, it was great. It was great.
Now, Fatty, is this the same car you built, I think, last year and took the Freedom Hall, or?
Yeah, it's the Freedom Hall car. I actually had Billy Eastep do some updating to it. It was a 98 to 02. I had Billy actually build a badass 08 front clip for it, and I'll tell you what, I ain't never ran an 03 and up, but this thing is just flat nasty.
That's cool.
Yeah, it's nasty.
That's awesome. Now, I mean, you got a couple years of derbying under your belt, and I was thinking on the way here, what do you think of the way the builds have gone? I mean, you know, you started back in the day, you know, kind of like the rest of us, with knocking the windows out, and I mean, now you got a car that, you know, you could hit a locomotive with, and it's probably not going to bend too much. So, what do you think of the way the builds have gone?
Well, they've gotten a little crazy. There's no doubt. These kicker cars, I mean, they're insane right now. I mean, but, you know, here in Ohio, a lot of the guys, they're starting to go back towards the stock thing. So I see the change coming. You know, these I don't have 3 months and $5,000 to build a car every time.
Yep.
So hopefully that changes. But these cars are insane, I think. I mean, this is the first time I've actually ran a hard car like this, and I don't know if I'll ever climb back in it, to be honest with you.
First time you ran a hard car like that, but it's the first time you ran a car hard?
Well, everybody, I'm not going to lie to you guys. Second, third, and fourth all ran out of gas, and I had 4 inches left in my tank. I heard one guy had a 17-gallon, the other one had a 15-gallon, and I had an 11-gallon.
Good for you. So, sounds like you're running a fuel mileage race, man. There's nothing wrong with that.
Yeah, so you were really light on the throttle.
You can't just tune these carburetors for horsepower, boys. You got to do fuel economy, too.
You've taken some abuse, but I mean the bank cashed the check Monday morning, right?
Yeah, actually, Jeremy paid us in cash, so
even better.
My wife was real happy when I got home. Yeah, the lady that gave me my trophy told me I did a great job.
Good. That's all that matters. Yeah. Chris, you had something?
I did. Yeah, I thought it was interesting the way that you set that point up about how much Fatty's been around, and he's done a lot, but at the same time he's done a lot of derbying, so he's got this two hat situation where he's gone through inspection, he knows how to argue the rules. So has there ever been a situation, or perhaps this weekend, where you had to educate the inspectors while they were inspecting your car so that you could get the stuff through?
No, because, you know, I ran the Pro Mod class, and it was a cleanup show. So, I mean, you got away with a little extra stuff, but everybody did, you know. So nobody ever really complained. But, like, when I run another show, yeah, I do that, but I always have the rules in my back pocket, and they go, you know these rules better than I do. You got to study them, so, but, I mean, it's, I don't know if it's intimidating when another official pulls into another official's line. I mean, I don't look at the driver, I look at the car, so, I mean, it don't bother me that much, but, I mean, yeah, I guess it could help a little bit.
Well, I'm going to call you out a little bit on this because I've got this picture of you snuggled up with
just gonna bring
Chuck
that up.
Chastain, where you were, I assume that you were explaining something about the back half of the car and trying to help Chuck, who was one of the inspectors, understand what you're trying to do with the geometry in the back.
Well, that was Matt Owens' car, and I've looked at it before, so I was just ensuring him that it was legit. That's all that was.
Yeah. Oh, goodness. That's awesome.
Yeah, when I actually pulled through, I told him that I looked at these two cars back in the pit area, but they still looked at them anyways.
Well, I think that's probably good, isn't it? If those two cars just pulled up and then rolled through without being looked at, it's like, yeah, Fatty signed off on it.
I mean,
cool.
I like, think I'm pretty decent. I mean, I'm a man of my word, so he should have trusted me, but he didn't. He still looked.
It's still demolition derby. The word trust doesn't exist when it comes to inspection.
Now, did Tim and Russ go out with you and supervise, or?
Tim actually towed me because Friday I got something in my eye, Saturday I got weld burn, so I had to look at the floorboard for 4 hours on the way up there, and Tim was like, I didn't know I had to drive. So yeah, Tim actually had to drive me there and on the way home. So,
nice. That's
Russ did not go up. It was, the weather was going to be too bad for Russ. He said, I don't like you that much. So, he called me and wished me luck and said, I'll see you on Sunday.
Now, count on Russ to be honest.
Yeah. Yeah, Russ is honest.
The honest one. Well, Tim told me he hated me like 50 times that day, too, because I think he never got out of the truck. It was horrible.
Now, did
he actually told me, he said, the feature lasted so long, Jeffrey, I went to the truck 3 times to warm up. Yeah.
That's awesome. When and I'm sure after you got paid, he made you buy dinner or lunch or breakfast on the way home that night, right?
Well, it was so late, we didn't stop nowhere until the gas light come on. I looked and I said, dude, I've been up since Friday. If you run out of gas, you're walking by yourself. So, no, but I did buy all the gas, so.
Nice.
So.
That's cool.
I came across something on Facebook that they're trying a new remedy for that flash burn situation. It used to be, I think it was potatoes. Mm-hmm. Put potatoes on your eyes. I saw some people doing
well,
like
eye drops of straight cream. Over in the western side of the state, but I don't know. Ziz posted that on there, and I don't recall that happening. So, but I did go today and get a big piece of metal dug out of my eyeball. So
that's good.
I'm not going to ask Tim to help me.
Now, Fatty, you got something else coming up here in about 3 weeks, a little demolition derby called Blizzard Bash. How's preparations going for that, and are you ready for the inspection and all the good stuff that comes along with it?
I don't know if you'll ever be ready for Blizzard Bash's inspection. I mean, some of the things you see out there, them guys are the best builders in the world. I mean, there's not a junk car there. It's insane.
Very true.
I mean, it's insane. Some of the builds and the thinking outside the box that you come across. If you love demolition derbies, you should be there because it's a bad show.
Yeah, definitely. And I mean, this year's teams. I mean, there's been some guys that have moved and some new guys brought in. And I mean, this might be the most competitive Blizzard Bash ever. I mean, it's amazing the way those teams have shaped up.
Oh, it's going to be scary. It's going to be rocking, that's for sure.
Now, I was looking at the Smash It page on Facebook, and I see that there's a couple new classes added for Bash for Cash. There's a Relic class and a Pro Stock class. I'm not real sure when we're going to run those since there's, you know, already 72 hours worth of a derby in a couple nights. But
I think the Tuesday schedule has yet to be released.
Yeah, I'm gonna have to get some more vacation time.
But pretty cool. That was one of the things I saw Tim and Russ at San Filippo, and they said they came up and were checking out the Relic class, and if it went well, they were going to add it. And that Monday, they added the Relic class. So I think that's really cool. I mean, it's, you know, you get to Ohio and some of the builders out west, and it'll be neat to see what they do with Relic cars.
I mean, that Relic class. Oh, yeah. was something. You know, it started a trend.
I didn't get to go out there, but Tim and Russ actually said that was their best, their favorite heat, just seeing the old cars out there. And
yeah, it was
awesome. I can't wait. I hope it's a big hit at the Bash, and I can't wait to watch them.
And then the way
there was a Gold Iron class that was either Ohio or Utah, and I can't remember, and it was like 1962 or 1960 and older. And then all of that just disappeared. The 58, 59 Fords, the Thunderbirds, the Lincolns and stuff, they were just running with regular old stuff. So, and then they faded away because they couldn't keep up, theoretically, they couldn't keep up like the Crown Vics and the Caddies and stuff, and those still stayed in the wheelhouse. And now, you know, some of the guys that had that stuff, or they can get to that stuff, or they can find that stuff, it's given them new life too, because nobody's building these things to exotic rules. It's pretty plain Jane. You know, it's not overdone.
No,
which
definitely.
Is nice. I mean, really, that showcase at San Filippo for that class changed the game for a lot of people and a lot of perspectives, and made a lot of people angry on social media.
Yeah, well, those people are stupid. But especially for the San Filippo class. I mean, that was, you know, that's to raise money for you know, a couple of really sick kids, and to raise money for, you know, research. So I mean, to get that overboard about it is just, I mean, there's no need for that. But I mean, it's going to be awesome. I definitely can't wait to see it. And I mean, there's, you know, now there's going to be two places within, you know, 10 hours where you can take those cars. So I mean, if you have something silly go wrong at, you know, Bash, I mean, you can bring it and finish it at San Filippo at the end of the year. So it's going to be awesome. And then, you know, talking with Tim and Russ, and they mentioned the Pro Stock, and it's going to be a little bit more of a heavy build than the Wire class, which the Wire class has turned into one of the most popular heats, or I guess they'd be three of the most popular heats, because I think there's three of them at Bash.
So yeah,
it'll be interesting to see. I mean, the Pro Stock I expect to be even more fast paced. So it's going to be interesting. I mean, I was talking to Tim and Russ about some of the other changes.
70s Wire class still on the schedule, right?
Yeah, 70s Wire class. Tim said no real major rules changes this year. So, you know, guys are, I'm sure, going to be sending injuries and getting building. So can't wait for it. I mean, it's you know, Blizzard Bash, and then we'll be Capital City Carnage, and then we'll be right back to Bash or Cash. I mean, it just keeps rolling, man. It doesn't slow down.
Are you doing?
Yeah, it's awesome that Derby's is all year long now. I mean, it's you take a year off of Derby's now, you're 2 years behind.
Absolutely.
I mean, because it advances that much because it never stops. It never stops. Every day somebody else is creating new, coming up with a different protector, just trying to better the sport. I mean, it's amazing where it's gone.
Absolutely. Absolutely. What'd you find, Chris?
But
I was...
Hey, can I say hi to Uncle Tim?
Absolutely.
I know he's listening. I called him and told him I was going on the podcast. He's like, what are you doing? I got to turn it on.
You know,
Tim.
Go ahead, Fady. When we get Tim on, I think sometimes Russ gets a little nervous because, you know, sometimes Tim gets a little excited, and then Russ has to kind of calm him down after. So
I guess we really don't have to worry.
I told him just stand there with a taser, and if he says something goofy, the only thing you guys are going to hear is like a woman screaming. You know? So, I mean, but
that's awesome.
Kind of funny.
Yes, sir.
Are you ready for Blizzard Bash at this point? I mean, are you going to just focus on that?
I think Tim's got me 9 pages of rules to go over, but there wasn't no big changes or anything from there last year. And right. Like I said, you just got to keep an open mind when you go out there. You know, because they're the best guys in the world. Between the Bash, Capital City Carnage, and Blizzard Bash, you will see the best builds you'll ever see in your life.
Absolutely. Now, Fady, is it pretty much the same inspection crew from last year and from Capital City Carnage? I mean, are you guys basically the same crew that's going to be doing it?
Yeah, pretty much. I haven't heard of anything that's changed, so yeah, it's pretty much the same crew. I mean, we don't like to mix things up too much. Them guys that's been down there, you know, they've been down there for years, and they seem to do a good job. And
well, that's what I was going to touch on. I mean, you know, when Smash It took it over, you know, people were wondered about, you know, what the inspections would be like and such. But I mean, there hasn't been any hiccups, and I mean, this will be what, the third, fourth event where you guys have all worked together. So, I mean, I'm thinking, you know, as hard as it is, I mean, it's, you know, it really, it for the most part runs smooth. I mean, you guys have got stuff figured out, and I mean, you changed it a little bit with the way some lifts are positioned, the way things are done. So, but I think for the most part, for the number of cars you guys have to look at, I mean, I think it goes well.
Yeah, I actually love it because it brought us the lifts.
Yep.
Once we started them lifts, man, we're spoiled babies now. I can walk at the end of the night and everything. So yeah, they got it going on down there. I mean, when we come in, everybody welcomed us with open arms. Everybody left their egos at the door, and
yep.
We were just there to do a job, and we did it, you know. So.
So you mean you don't miss rolling around the ground looking under 500 or 600 cars a weekend? You don't miss that?
Not at all, especially at the end of the Sunday when Tim walks up, says, "Man, you did good," and pats you on the back, and you can't even feel it because you're numb. So, I don't miss crawling around no more. Sometimes I think it might be faster, but I don't miss it. That's for sure.
Yeah, that's tough to do that much from the ground. I mean, I can't imagine it. It's got to wear you out.
Mm-hmm.
Oh yeah, when we first started the bash and all them cars showed up, and we were it's insane. It's insane the way it's developed, and we've developed, they've developed. It's a cat and mouse game, you know. You're always trying to play catch up, and
yep.
it's crazy where it's at. It really is.
Absolutely.
It is a pretty spectacular thing when you think about some of the humble beginnings of what the sport was intended to be many, many years ago, you know, and where things are at now. You know, it's pretty common that you're going to be winning, you know, significant money.
Oh, yeah.
At the national shows, and there's a national circuit. If you choose to, you can see some of the same builders in Ohio that you're going to see in Kansas that are also going to be in Kentucky, you know, and up in Minnesota. It's a pretty wide range, you know, the traveling circles.
Oh, yeah, it's amazing. What got me is the first year I went down to Blizzard Bash, and, you know, we inspect the cars in that side area there, then you walk through those double doors, and you see, you know, all these people and the event and the lights. I was like, it's a derby. This is unbelievable. Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, just to see that event down there, the way it's put together, and for a demolition derby is just amazing.
Probably the second best use for a hockey arena.
Yeah, well, I think it's the best.
I knew. Yeah. I set that up for you.
I'll
use
for that.
Definitely. I like it.
Seriously, if you go down to Blizzard Bash, nobody knows who the goalie for the Blackhawks or whatever is, but you know who, you know, Team Kansas is and all that. I'm just saying.
I would just like to point out that I'm now in the classification of nobody.
And you don't count.
Brian, just reach over and choke him.
I can't. That's the boss. I'd get in trouble.
Oh, okay.
But
yeah, it really is. I mean, it's just amazing on how it's grown and the people that come together. And, I mean, just the Derby family in general taking care of one another outside the sport's even amazing. I mean, you know, my boy, he's got Down syndrome, and we do an awareness for them. And he raised $11,000 this year, and 90% of it was demolition derby drivers.
That's awesome.
I mean, guys I've never even met in my life were donating to his team. You know, it's not something like we don't see none of the money. It all goes into an account for Down syndrome awareness research. And just the people that come together giving money for somebody that they've never even met, they've never even seen this little boy, was just so overwhelming. I mean, it was unbelievable. Unbelievable.
That's very cool. And that's, you know, I've
touched, I mean, it was amazing.
I've touched on that a bunch. I mean, you know, we've seen it from Tegan to, you know, I mean, we, you know, you just mentioned your son, Team Martin.
Emily. Team Mia.
Yep, Team Mia. I mean, we've seen a lot of, well, I mean, they when they did the thing for, what's his name's wife, when she went to get treatment for her at Topeka, remember?
Wasn't that Emily?
Emily
Barnes.
But I mean, it's just awesome the way the group comes together. And I mean, it's, you know, they really take care of their own. It's heartwarming. It really is. I mean, it's, you know, to see guys come together and help each other out. It's really cool.
Oh yeah, I've yelled at half of these guys. Yeah. You know, I've made them cut their cars apart. I mean, made them, you know, do goofy stuff, and they still, you know, they put all that aside, and you know, they're taking care of people. So that's what's great about demolition derbies.
I want to dial it back to
everybody.
Blizzard
takes care of everybody.
Dial it back to Blizzard Bash for a second, because you talked about the lights and the spectacle and everything, and there really is no. There's no comparison. I can't think of anything else that I've been involved with that has the same, like, just grab you by the shirt collar effect as when you walk into there. When you went in there the first time, whenever it may have been. It might have been early on. It might have been after Smash. It was already in the process of taking things over. Whenever it might have been, what struck you the most about Blizzard Bash? The first like oh my gosh moment that you had there.
It would probably have been, like I said, because I never went down to Blizzard Bash until we actually took it over. I always ordered it and watched it, and Tim and Russ always went down and told me how awesome it was. And, right. You know, to me, I've seen thousands of derbies. A derby's a derby. You know, you pull into the fairgrounds, you got a track, you got officials, that's it. But the first time that I walked out and the lights were down and you got Buddy Hess out there talking and you look around the crowd, the spotlights are moving, and it put chills on my back, you know, clear up my body. I was like, this is what we've done it. We're here. This is what everybody's worked hard for the last 30, 40 years, right. And we made it. And, I mean, it's to a lot of people, you know, derbies is derbying, but, you know, I've been raised around derbies my whole life, and that's all I know. That's all I've ever done. When I was a freshman in high school, they wanted me to play football, but their two-a-days was the first derby that I was going to run, so I quit playing football to run derbies.
Right.
You know, so it was just amazing just walking out there and seeing everything and standing there with my two uncles, you know, that we've started it off the beginning, and now we're there. You know, I remember when we did the first Bash for Cash, it was at Marysville Fairgrounds. There was 100 cars there, and it was over in 6 hours. Wait, now we're there for 4 days, and you see just unbelievable stuff.
Did you say started it with your uncles?
Well, yeah, my dad, Timmy, and Rusty actually started it. I've worked for them since day one. Well, Timmy's fired me like 15 times, but I always got hired before the next show.
I was going to say, that in all the conversations we've had with Tim and Russ, they never brought up anything about you being involved from day one or anything. Like,
what really is a kick in the butt is, you know, I won Dent when I was 19, and you'd be standing in a group, and everybody thinks Timmy won. So I don't get credit for that. I don't even get credit for the Dent win. Tim does. Everybody thinks he won.
That's funny.
And just for the record, he got his carburetor ripped off 3 minutes into it, if anybody wanted to know.
That's funny. But, I mean, that's the thing. I mean, we have the last few years, we've spent a lot of time with the guys from Smash It. Mm-hmm. And I mean, I think the thing that really, you know, sets them apart is how much fun they have together. And I'm not saying that, you know, guys don't get mad at each other and, you know, tensions, you know, don't ratchet up sometimes. But I mean, for the most part, these guys all have fun together, you know. Even Tim and Ross, there's a lot on their shoulders. I mean, they're, you know, they bust balls with everybody, and it's really cool. And I think that's why, you know, I think drivers pick up on it. I think, you know, people pick up on, hey, you know, this is, you know, there's a good feeling here. I mean, it's not like it's just a business. It's not like, you know, we're just here to make money. It's, I mean, it really feels like, you know, it feels like family. I mean, I think that's one thing that's really cool. I mean, we've worked with a lot of promoters over the years and the last 5 years. And, you know, there's really a family feel. I mean, you know, the way you guys all bust on each other and bust on everybody that happens to come around. It's cool. So, I mean, it makes it enjoyable. Because, I mean, like you said, I mean, you guys are at Bash for Cash for 4 or 5 days. And, I mean, by the end of the week, you know, weekend guys are getting wore out. But, I mean, it's, you know, you guys still find ways to have fun. So, I mean, I think that's really cool. And that's what helps to set you guys apart.
Well, we always said if we wasn't having fun doing it, we was going to close the doors. And in 20 years, we still haven't stopped having fun. So, I mean, if you can't have fun with your guys and your drivers, and because, I mean, I'd rather be a nice guy and joke with a guy than have to be an ass. And, you know, you're going to be an ass, you're going to get an ass. So,
absolutely.
You know, I just treat them like I'd want to be treated. You know, I like to have a good time. I want everybody to have a good time. I like to kiss and hug on everybody, you know, so.
That's true.
That's what we're there for. I mean, I want the drivers and their families to have the best experience they can have at the show, too. I don't want them going back, like, these guys are jerks. They, you know, they talk to me bad, and nobody wants that, you know.
Sure.
Very true. So. Very, very true. What do you think, Chris Marquardt?
But I'm still, derbies is the best thing at that thing.
Oh, absolutely.
At the expo, Chris. Not absolutely. Hockey.
Okay.
I
said use of
Brian,
use of
you tell him to.
I agree.
Use of a hockey arena.
All right.
I specifically said use of a hockey arena.
The only thing
number
I like about
two.
Hockey are the fights.
Yeah, they shouldn't even put ice back in it. It should just be dirt all year long. You know,
and that's
the save us.
That's actually one of the Roadrunners' complaints is how there is dirt there all year long.
Well, they should just leave it stacked up. I mean, that's Tim nervous about that dirt, buddy. You know, you got a lot of time in that.
There's this fine dust that they say they're still digging out of the soundboard. Like, even when they melt the ice off, they still find little bits that settle down onto it. It takes a long time for it to clear out.
I couldn't imagine even going over there after we leave.
Their Zamboni is just as good as a dust buster, you know?
I will say, though.
Zambonis are what they used to do the ice, Brian.
I will say, though, it is amazing how on the Saturdays when they run two shows, they run one in the morning, one in the afternoon or evening, it's amazing the cleanup that crew does in there. I mean, in the building itself. I mean, they come through.
The facilities people are awesome.
They come through.
They turn that over fast.
Yeah, they do a hell of a job. And I've touched on that from day one. I mean, the crew that goes in there and cleans that place up, they take their stuff serious. I mean, that place, it looks as immaculate as it can. I mean, they do a really nice job there. And that's the thing. I mean,
they're there just as long as we are.
Oh, absolutely.
You know, I mean, they're there all day and all night. I mean, hats off to them guys, too. I mean, the guys behind the scenes that you don't see.
Yeah.
I mean, they're busting ass the whole time, too.
Truth be told, they don't seem to have as much fun with it as everybody else does.
No, they get a little wore out.
They're not, I don't know what to tell you about that. maybe they just don't like the dust as much as we do.
we've said it from day one. I mean, you know, Topeka really opens up to the derby. Has really opened up to the derby community.
They don't like the 7 metric tons of beer cans they have to pick up each night.
There's a lot of aluminum that comes out of that place that weekend.
There's a lot of aluminum that comes out of that building.
Holy cow.
A lot. But
the city has definitely embraced.
In that section, what's that section, 117 right there?
117.
I bet that's 90% of it.
They have a good time. There's no doubt.
I actually sat there for one heat, and I was like, I like the party, but these guys really like the party.
You know what was awesome?
Yeah, I was sitting there. I don't even know the guy behind me, but they was all standing up. He tapped me on the shoulder, and he said, hey, Chubby, you stand up, too. I was like, okay. No clue who the guy was.
I don't know if it's just because it's inside or if it's really that way. Probably that way because the track is harder. But last year at Capital City Carnage, Russ came up into the booth. And he was, you know, we were talking, and I just kind of noticed over my shoulder that Russ was standing there. So I said, hey, you want to talk? He's like, yeah, I'll talk. So he went in, you guys were talking back and forth, and I leaned over and tapped on my shoulder. I said, is it okay with you if I go down and stand along the wall and watch? I said, you're going to be up here, right? He goes, yeah, I'm going to stay up here. He goes, yeah, go ahead, you can go. And to go down and stand on that track and feel, yes, I said feel, how hard those cars hit. And that isn't even the heavy builds. That was Capital City Carnage.
That was a limited weld, Joe.
Yeah, that was a limited weld. So I can't imagine what it's like.
Limited weld, relative term.
Yeah, relative term. Limited weld in Topeka, Kansas is not limited weld in Seneca County. Sorry, Josh Buell.
oh, come on.
But
because you guys are hockey guys. You're not derby guys. That's why.
No. But, I mean, they get down there and stand and feel. And the way those guys that were hitting, it was amazing. I mean, there's just something special about that building. It brings it out in everybody.
Well, some of the cars that were coming out there with like the DOT style tires, and some of the lighter divisions at Blizzard Bash last year, the cars were light enough to where you could hear the tire squealing on the surface, which was way cool. They're leaving burn marks.
Well,
we were waiting for the track to rubber up, you know.
And that was the thing. You can go out there after the heats, you know, if you go out and look, and there is rubber on that track. You can see where they have been burning, you know. It's insane. I mean, this is absolutely one of the shows you have to. And that's, you know, we've touched on it. We had friends come out last year, Dan and Mike and Kristen and Desi, you know, and we're like, you got to see this because it's, you know, it can't be explained. It has to be experienced.
Well, it's funny, you know, a minute ago, Fatty just said, you know, a derby is a derby. And he's right. A derby is a derby. And a Blizzard Bash is a Blizzard Bash.
Yeah, that's definitely standalone.
Absolutely. I'll be honest with you guys. I've been doing it for, you know, 19, 20 years. And that's the only track standing next to it. It scares the hell out of me.
Yeah.
I mean, because they're going, that it scares the hell. I mean, I was lucky last year. You know, the old crew was there. So they like to work the track. So I didn't have to. But I am scared to death every heat because them guys are getting busy out there. I mean, it scares me to death, but it's a great show.
you weren't there for the soft walls. Remember the soft walls? Yeah. Cars would be put halfway through it, and they would blow through it. I mean, like a cannon went off, just dirt flies everywhere.
Yeah.
After they started packing them and putting the sheer face on of it, it, changed the dynamic a little bit, but I mean, even still.
Yeah, now they use the wall to junk the cars. It's it's amazing.
But instead of getting hung up.
Yeah, now they junk stuff.
Oh, it's insane. They're insane out there. And I just, like I said, I ran this kicker car, and it's a pro mod, and I ran it Saturday, and I feel like I've been tackled by Lawrence Taylor. And nice. Them guys do it for 4 days in a row. Yeah. I don't know how they do it. I mean, they've got to feel like they've been ran over by a Mack truck 300 times.
Yeah.
Because I can barely move now. I mean, and I'd have to be running today again if I was down there. And there's I don't know how they do it.
Yeah, it's crazy. I mean, to see the...
Oh, it's insane.
If you want to win Blizzard Bash, you have to spend around $20,135.18. 20 grand on the car. About 18 Red Bulls and a can full of Advil.
Oh, yeah. You might want to bring two cans of Advil for sure.
Yeah. Yeah, it's.
Yeah, it's insane.
From the Derby paint, I mean, not
just, just the walk through the pit area out there is amazing. The equipment these guys bring, the tents, just everything out there is amazing. I mean, if you love derbies, that's the place to be November 8th through the 11th.
Absolutely.
Well, what a good way to end right there. Absolutely. I mean, that's we're going to try and get in and recap rest of Cast in the Valley, what we missed from a little bit ago. Is there anybody that you want to make mention of or anything? I mean, Jeremy Hayduke, of course, those guys always put that Battle of the Border show on. They do a great job with it. They had Derby Dog season was busy as ever this year.
Jeremy and Dennis did a good job. I just want to thank my dad for tuning my motor, Tim and Russ for everything they do. I got a couple guys, Kenny Jones, Josh Francis, Gary Zorns. They worked their ass off for me. I got a 1-inch extreme cradle from Dave Diver that worked flawlessly. My motor's protected like you wouldn't believe, like Fort Knox. So, but awesome. Other than that, I mean, that's about it.
Awesome. Well, we
Ziz, I got a Ziz motor. I can't forget my buddy Ziz. You know, I got my old Ziz motor in here. He's the best. I mean, he's an old school derby guy, and you want a derby motor, that's the dude to go see.
Awesome. Well,
I might as well throw my tranny guy too, Paul Winky. He's in there. But that's it. That's all I got.
What rear end do you have?
To be honest with you, mine's a stock 3/4 ton truck rear end with a Postal Mopar brace on it with a 513 gear.
Perfect. I think we covered the drivetrain.
Yeah, so it looks like a good rear end, but it's just make believe.
Gotcha.
It looks really cool under the car. I'll give it that.
Perfect. Well, awesome. We'll be catching up with you soon, man. Congratulations on the win.
All right, boys. We'll see you later.
See you now.
See you, Fetty.
There goes Jeff Fetty Clark after his win in the Pro Mod class at Battle of the Border. Excited for him pulling down that win. And while we're on the topic, we'll hit it all now. November the 7th is heat draws for Blizzard Bash at the Landon Arena at the Kansas Expo Center in Topeka, Kansas. November the 8th is the first round of qualifying. Remember, we've got two brackets running in tandem, the national bracket and the qualifying bracket. November the 9th is the early 5 o'clock start. It's the early part of the night. That's the Combat and Limited World team draws, the late part of the program at 6 o'clock, national and qualifying round 2 for the teams. November the 10th is the twin bill. Compacts and Limited Well team heats opening round for them at 10 a.m. at 6 o'clock is all the B features for the teams, the trucks, Limited Well 1 and Done, and the November 11th is Championship Sunday, Bone Stocks, 80s Mod, all the team A-Mains. Chris Grainer is working on putting the Fantasy League together for everybody. BlizzardBash.com has all the team listings and the schedule, the agenda, everything that you need along those lines. It's going to be a good one for sure. We said we would get into some of this, and we will. We've got a correction.
Uh-oh.
Which is good, because I needed it. There was two number 44s in one of the qualifying heats, and there was something written on the roof sign of the number 44, and I thought it said Mike Barr. Turns out, Mike Barr won the Compact Championship and took all the money home with him in the Chaos car. It was the other 44 all night long. So I was calling that person by the wrong name. The other 44, whoever was in it, ended up fourth place overall. Second place was a car out of Pennsylvania. Third place was Jason Wilkins, and he ended up taking home that Mad Dog Award.
Cool.
Early in the night, the qualifying heats, Brett Relly was down there and got in a dogfight with Josh Orndorff. It was awesome watching those two go after each other. Guy Raymond went down to help. Moving on. Somebody just walked through the wall over there. Guy Raymond came down. He was helping Brett. So he's talking about maybe bringing a car down. Dan Bolton's talking about bringing a truck down next year. Todd Height's got plans of bringing a vehicle down. He stopped by the Gokenauer compound, and he found something. So he's going to have a Virginia car up in New York for a couple of the runs. He's now been physically healed and mentally and physically cleared to drive in a Derby car again, which there's an oxymoron right there because nobody's ever mentally right climbing into a Derby car, right? But he's going to be back in a car. Justin LaSalle, he's talking about bringing a car down next year from New York. Dan Snyder, Natasha Snyder.
Yep, I saw they were going.
Steve Shoemaker.
Shoemaker, yep.
And Roger Snyder all had cars down there. A couple beautiful Mopar wagons. Just crazy. And the backs got ripped up on them a little bit. But, I mean, those guys all made a great showing for representing them. Tiffany Hahn, she had a 68 Imperial, and she got the win. Brett was second, and it was a great fight. Mike Klinger ended up going in the books fourth behind Andrew Myers. Andrew Myers had a full-frame Imperial that the trunk lid was shoved to the window. The frame was pushed down to the dirt. The nose had gone on it, and it was one run. Stock rules. He drove the wheels off that thing, and it finally, I think it just got hot on him. It didn't seem like anything was broke. Josh Orndorff did. He broke a drive shaft, it looked like, and ended his night a little bit early. Fifth place was Dan Snyder.
Cool.
Daniel got fifth place overall, which was pretty cool. He was one spot short of the money.
Did he have an Imperial? Was it a Shocker or Grand Fury, something like that?
Cordoba.
Really?
Mm-hmm. Wouldn't have thought that place, would you? Cordoba.
You know,
it was one of the cleanest Cordobas I've ever seen. But everything out of the Snyder compound has been sitting in mothballs on concrete for 40 years. So I'm not surprised that it was the cleanest one.
Yeah,
but,
yeah.
I mean, it was the super thing clean. With Cordobas, Natasha had...
Grand Fury or Monaco?
I want to say it was Royal Monaco because it had the funny dimple in the quarter panel.
Okay.
I want to say it was a Monaco, but we were up on top. I think it was a Monaco. Yeah. Somebody will tell me what I'm wrong.
I saw pictures of them going, and I think Dougie, which is Natasha's father who passed away, and Danny had run there years ago because they had an old picture of Dougie standing next to a car, and I think it might have
been. Now, they might have gone down for the fair, but they never...
Not Cass at the Valley. I mean, they might have... I think they went down and ran.
Wouldn't that have been something?
Yeah. So it was cool to see them go. Saw some after pics of Brett's car. He definitely junked that Imperial. Got to where the crank was against the frame and it wouldn't turn over.
That happened early too. It pushed back on him, and I think it pushed back on him. I got into the pulleys, but it sparked for a while and then like clearanced itself.
Mm-hmm.
So once he had room, he was like, "Well, I might better use it," and it went back a little bit further. That car had a couple runs on it, I think.
Yeah, he said that car made him about $6,500 this summer.
Paid for the car for sure.
Not bad.
Yep.
I assume Mike Klinger also had a fresh Imperial that he brought down.
Yeah, he had a 70-71. It had the badge in the quarter panel.
Yeah,
it was the Coke bottle style.
I saw when I talked with Mike and Tiffany at San Filippo. I said, "What are you guys taking?" And they just kind of smiled. And I said, "All right, I'll find out about it afterwards." But you know, and it's funny because it's going down. Brett said, "You know, it's you know, gonna have to beat either Mike or Tiffany in order to win it." So, I mean, they definitely are very hard to beat.
They waited until they knew for sure they were gonna settle among themselves.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, yeah. He figured that, and then it was on from there.
Weld class. Brian Schumann came over the win there. This was his second fall win in a row, and he's been top two in the last three casts in the valleys. Second place was Larry Smith. Third place, Josh Orndorff. Josh Orndorff has been, I think, top three in each of his last three casts in the valleys. That's the spring going back to last fall.
Mark Wolf burned up a tranny, I believe he said.
I didn't catch up with him, but it's believable. It's believable. We got that rain, so the track slicked up. It never got muddy. The water never got through the surface. It just glazed the top a little bit, and there was a good bit of rain that fell on the track, but it took it all, and then it kept running back in, and it run back in fast, which was great. You know, it didn't really affect the show.
That's how Morse is now. If they put the clay on it. It would run in quick. Their tracks like that are nice.
You bet. Yep. Mike Schwalm from New King Gold, Pennsylvania, came up with the win in the SUV Trucks and Vans feature over Justin Burke and Katie Silvius. Greg Alger was right in the middle of that one. And the 1X, Senior Wolf from Newmarket, ended up taking the Mad Dog Award in that one. Gary Breeden won Mad Dog in the full-size stock. Mike Barr, again, winning the compact division, and it was Jason Wilkins who took the Mad Dog Award in that one.
What happened to Sean Gokenauer?
Didn't build a car.
Really?
James Berner had a diplomat, or excuse me, not diplomat, can't believe that. James Berner had a early 80s Ford, like an LTD, you know, the little bit smaller body style. And then Danny Manning had a car as well.
But I thought Gokenauer would continue running the same one that doesn't bend.
Well, I was joking with him that they never stop doing construction down there. I mean, Skyline Construction does construction, yeah. But then his brothers and everybody, there's constantly building another new shop or another new house or whatever. So his brother at the house that they moved into, that big shop, has now put it on the market. So he has spent all of his time trying to gut the shop and get it someplace under storage while he builds his new shop.
Gotcha.
Which it's all the whole road is. Oh yeah, we used to own that house, but then we moved down the street. the whole road, the whole way up. He's like, that was my uncle. Just goes all the way up the street. It's cool. kind of entertaining. So until they get to the end of the road, they're gonna keep being able to build new. But yeah, Dad went and he thought it was pretty cool. He's looking forward to doing it again. And then, you know, Penny Shipe had lost her dad, and then they lost their dog, so she was. She was not as she didn't seem like she was herself, so I was a little disappointed in that. But I mean, you know, I can certainly relate to it. She's going to be getting out of town here for a little while, well deserved.
Taking a vacation.
Yep, and get out of there, just chill out for a little while. And she's got plans. I'm blanking on when. I think it's in the fall. She's going to be in Ocean City at some point, and then I think she's going to Cancun someplace in that time. So you should be able to relax just fine, I think.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, it was an exciting show. It was a lot of fun, and it ran long. Dad disappeared for a couple times, and he ended up in the car just to go sit down and take a break. But we got him a purpose. Like we were joking earlier, I didn't get to finish telling the story. I was running a headset mic for the stream. Mm-hmm. Which we'll get to in a second, a handheld mic for the PA, and running the camera while babysitting the computer. And they wanted me to put a headset on with a microphone on it on the right side so that I could communicate with race control. And I'm like, I'm not doing that. I can't. Dad's like, well, if you need some help. So he had the headset on the whole night, and he was relaying messages and stuff. It was cool. It seemed like he had a pretty good time. And
good.
And the guys from Steal Your Face made him feel very, very welcome into the conversations and stuff, and they were talking about Derby and travel, and he was talking about, you know, he spent a lot of time, sorry, Josh, people talking about Seneca County. He's been there a little bit, you know?
Yeah, he's, so yeah, it's a wonder your dad likes me, because I was sort of an asshole back in the day when your dad was fire chief, but he seems to have forgiven and forgotten. He's a good guy like that.
Just business, doesn't matter. So I'll tell you after the show's over with, but I'll get to that. So anyway, we
some of our best stuff happens off here.
We were, remind me of it though, because I'll forget. Remember to tell you about Dad with the fire department stuff. More so, we went down there, and it was supposed to be live to tape. Mm-hmm. I was going to live mix it. This is going to be easy. Live mix it. We take the computer, set it in the other room while we do the show in here. Just for the heck of it, I brought my hotspot, just so I could keep up with whatever was happening, if needed. It turns out there was plenty of stuff going on. And I ran a speed test, and we pulled an 8, which is more than enough by leaps and bounds. But this is the computer that failed that we used, and it wasn't. It's back on its feet, but it's still a little punch drunk. It's not right, but it was functional. Mm-hmm. So with an 8, I'm like, let's roll the dice. It's acting a little clicky. I gotta tweak some things, but let's try this out and see what happens. So I restarted the computer. I restarted it, went from an 8 down to like a 1.1. And I'm like, well, let's skip YouTube. YouTube has higher requirements. We did the Facebook Live thing at Oswego on a very low resolution.
Yep.
So I reprogrammed the Crash Course page on site so that we could go live, thinking that if we went incrementally to Facebook, if we had a problem and we had to stop it, we could at least finish the heat and then we just don't go back. That happened in heat number one, and it was, like I said, a little punch drunk. Everything just quit working. I'm like, perfect. We are in a great spot right now. I'm happy to be here. But I was patient with it and worked back through it, holding a microphone this way and doing everything left-handed up there in the booth. And we got everything back online, and the first heat worked, and the second heat worked. And then Facebook started flagging stuff like crazy in the background and telling them, you can't go live. So what happens, if anybody's doing this, if you go live multiple times in a row, you can have a permanent stream key in Facebook. So you just hit that same connection every time over and over and over again. And when you hit it a bunch of times, Facebook says, wait a second, you're doing something wrong. You're a hacker, you're a bot, you're not real, whatever. So they say, you can't stream anymore. But they make a new stream key. So if you copy and plug it in, you can go back. So once I got that figured out, we were popping off and just kept going with it and kept going with it. And there were some people that were complaining about the resolution and the resolution settings to make sure that it went through to Facebook superseded the local recording here. So the resolution is exactly the same whether I put it on YouTube or not. So there's people complained it, and we did it for free on a horrible signal.
Do you think the weather interfered with the signal?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I watched that lightning kick us out at one point.
Okay.
There's this thing called the event log that you can watch during one of the heats that had 113 instances where the stream to Facebook disconnected during the heat.
Wow.
That's not good.
No, it's not good.
It just kicked off and came back fast enough to where it didn't drop.
I didn't even realize, because I worked Saturday, and then I got out of work and went bow hunting and came back, and I'd text you a little bit, and I didn't even realize that you were trying to go live yet. And I saw something. I'm like, check this out. So it was cool, and I'm glad that the main computer's on its way back to being usable, and that's going to come in handy for Crash Course.
I told Penny in April that I wanted to test a couple things, and we were not successful. It did not work. Mostly tied to signal issues.
Yeah.
So we went down there with the intention of just going conservative and doing the live to tape thing. But I feel like getting live video on Facebook is definitely an advantage. And if people can just pop in to find the heat that they're looking for, mm-hmm. that's going to spread the word about Chaos in the Valley.
Oh,
it's going to get the stuff out there the way that it needs to be. And that's the reason why.
Well, I mean,
we did it the way that we did, and there were people that absolutely hated it. They were so mad that the quality was bad, or it sounded bad, or this was bad, or that was bad.
But
and
this
it's
is
like,
the thing, I mean, people are stupid, but the thing is though, like you look at the Facebook Live that Chuck Bowman put up from San Filippo of the Relic Class has had 133,000 views.
Yep.
So I mean, how can that not help a show? If, you know, I mean, let's say a third of those people have never heard of San Filippo and go, man, that'd be interesting. You know what I mean?
Well, I opened the show with a transparent slide. It said, Chaos in the Valley, Woodstock, Virginia, live from the Shenandoah County Fairgrounds to benefit Thompson Volunteer Fire Department. Just about every one of the heats that went out. Just about everyone. And I couldn't believe, is this in Ohio? Is this in Kentucky? Is this in Tennessee? Where's this from? Like, and they're joining midstream. Mm-hmm. I get it. So I mean, it's no big deal. But like, now that everything is done, loaded, and it's up there, and I got to put one more heat up, the one that we lost. We got some of it to band-aid together, and we're gonna put that up there too. But still, I was kind of like, you know, it's not bad.
No,
I didn't think it was.
No,
but it was still. Disappointing, you know, to put that much out there.
You got to look at the bright side, though. I mean, your computer's back, semi working. There's room to improve. So,
well, I mean,
I think we'll be all right.
Just to get that out there was feeling pretty good because we weren't supposed to be live. We weren't supposed to be able to go live. Mm-hmm. My dad walked all over the fairgrounds. He got a hold of the fair board president. And he walked around the fairgrounds and with him until they got all the switches turned on and had a guy leave his house where he was installing his kitchen cabinets to come and turn the internet on. But the problem is the hardwired internet was just as bad as the wireless. The good internet is locked inside the equestrian barns, and we couldn't get to those.
I don't like equestrian barns.
You haven't been to the right ones.
I'm against all of them after they put them up at Syracuse where the track used to be.
Oh, well, fair enough. But yeah.
What do you think, Chris Marquardt?
I think 248 is in the books. 248.
We're almost at 250 studio shows.
It'll be, let's see. It will be
friggin' amazing.
The week leading up to Blizzard Bash will be episode 250. Next week will be 49, and then we'll have 250 the 5th of November.
I have to get a couple drivers on and talk about how things are going.
Yep, this is the, in case anybody wasn't keeping score and missed it, this is the sort of the Blizzard Bash kickoff push. We're going to have Blizzard Bash for the next 4 weeks. Mm-hmm. You know, next, 4 weeks. This week, and then the next two, and then the follow-up show.
Absolutely.
So get your tickets.
Have to get Tim on and see how things are going. And
yes, we'll get Tim on. We'll be talking to him, drivers. All that and more coming up. I think that's going to do it for this one. We appreciate everybody coming on and hanging out with us for a little while. 248 in the books. We'll see everybody next time.
The Crash Course Live is presented by
Smash It Demolition Derby, who hosts Bash for Cash, Blizzard Bash, and Capital City Carnage. Online at smashitderby.com. And Stirring Dirt Racing, host of May Mania's team show at the Golden Spike Arena in Ogden, Utah, online at stirringdirtracing.com. Reckless Abandon Derby Apparel and Derby Inc. Magazine.
This is the Crash Course Demolition Derby Podcast, recorded live at the FigureLinks1.com studios in downtown Seneca Falls, New York.